speak unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
Lo yomad Yisroel, lo yomad am Yisroel.
The eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations brings you The Eternal Light. This public service program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. American Judaism is grouped under three main religious movements: Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is a dramatic representation of Isaac Meyer Wise, founder of Reform Judaism in America. Featured in the title role is Harold Huber. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Dr. David Phillipson.
The year is 1899. Sir Moses Ezekiel, the internationally celebrated sculptor, has come to a Cincinnati suburb to carve a likeness of the stormy petrel of American Judaism. It is spring, and a bird is singing. But for Isaac Meyer Wise, it is winter, the 80th year of his turbulent life.
This shouldn't take much longer, Rabbi Wise. You're not tired, are you?
Now don't be so all-fired solicitous, young man. I'm not used to it.
So I gathered. A bit more to the left, please. Hold it, please.
Young man, you're a nuisance.
Am I? Would you mind wearing your spectacles?
I certainly would. Besides, I lost them.
Oh, no. They're in the same place, Rabbi Wise. On your forehead.
Well, that's where they belong. You sculpt me just as I am, young man, and don't you try to make me venerable. Nothing venerable about me.
You're rather pleased with yourself, aren't you?
If you can reach 80 and make as much trouble as I did, you'd be pleased yourself.
I dare say. Tell me if the pose tires you. You all right?
Of course I'm all right. Just thinking. You go right ahead and fiddle with the clay. I'll think.
Being old, it's like a state of suspended convalescence. Just sitting. The satisfaction with small things. A little bird singing. The sun on your cheek. The feel of your own pulse. It's good. Just sitting and being pleased with the smell of April. Not worrying about December. That is good. And thinking, a little town in Bohemia, such a long time ago, 1845. 1845 in the Bohemian town of Radnitz. And the burgomaster saying,
Sit down, Rabbi.
I'll stand, Herr Burgomaster.
As you prefer. Your name is Isaac Meyer Wise, isn't it?
Yes, Herr Burgomaster.
I understand that last week you married three couples.
I did.
Without our permission.
I did.
Let me refresh your memory, Rabbi. No rabbi in Bohemia may perform marriages without our permission.
My apologies, Herr Burgomaster.
Sir, I object to your tone.
That makes us equal, Your Excellency. I object to your law.
Nevertheless, you will obey the law.
Some laws are a crime. Your Excellency, their execution is a felony.
Careful, Rabbi. I didn't make the law, but I carry it out. Impress that little fact on your mind. The Jewish population is going to remain stationary, do you hear? No one marries until there is a vacancy. And a vacancy occurs when someone dies and I certify that a vacancy exists.
Is that all, Herr Burgomaster?
Yes, that's all for now. We've got our eye on you, Rabbi, for a lot of things, my friend. No more marriage services, my friend. That's a warning.
Place the ring on her forefinger. No, the right hand. Yes. Say after me. Behold.
Behold.
Thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
Thou art consecrated unto me by this ring.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel.
According to the law of Moses and of Israel. What?
Don't be alarmed. Apparently we are to have uninvited guests. There's a door in the back.
Are we married, Rabbi?
Yes, the ceremony is over. Don't hurry as you leave, and don't be afraid. They are the criminals, not we. Now go, and God bless you. Come in, Herr Burgermaster.
Where are they? Rabbi, I said, where are they?
You're too late, Herr Burgermaster.
That's a pity.
Yes, a pity that it's true. And very true that it's a pity.
Well, tell me their names.
No, Your Excellency.
You refuse?
I do.
I'm not going to arrest you. Oh, no, Rabbi, not for this. When I get you, it's going to be for something good.
I appreciate the compliment.
Not at all, Rabbi, not at all. Wait a minute. I've forgotten something. Yes. Tomorrow is Emperor Ferdinand's birthday. You will preach the customary sermon of congratulation?
Yes, of course, Your Excellency. Why not come yourself?
Rabbi, a very good idea.
Then I shall take special pains with the sermon.
No doubt, Rabbi. No doubt.
My text is Jeremiah chapter 34, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me to proclaim liberty, every man to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim for you a liberty, saith the Lord, unto the sword, unto the pestilence, and unto the famine. And I will make you a horror unto all the kingdoms of the earth. Members of the congregation, the gown is getting threadbare. The gilding wears off from the wooden idol. The priests desert the altar. Add shame to blasphemy. Add folly to falsehood. Contradict humanity and praise the Emperor Ferdinand on his birthday. Europe is an aching sore, a bleeding wound, a blasting stigma. The nations are a flock of sheep, a herd of cattle belonging to the tyrant. Let us pray for our noble and virtuous Emperor Ferdinand. Put a man in a chair, set a cap on his head, place a scepter in his hand, worship him, slaughter one another at his command.
Eloquent sermon, Rabbi.
Glad you like it, Your Excellency. I'm not quite finished.
No, I think that will do, don't you?
Perhaps you're right.
Let's not keep the governor waiting.
The governor?
Yes, of course, Rabbi. He's most anxious to speak with you.
I see, Herr Burgermaster. By all means, we mustn't keep the governor waiting.
Just what I think. All right, Rabbi. Shall we go?
You admit these charges?
I do, Governor.
Also that you have performed marriages against our expressed injunction?
I have.
And that you've been heard to say that republicanism is preferable to monarchy?
I did.
Why?
I happen to believe it.
Is that your religion?
That's the way I interpret my religion.
Oh, so you're also an interpreter. I'm accustomed to having my questions answered.
Why not come to the point, Governor?
My dear Rabbi, I generally conduct my interviews in my own fashion. So you don't like monarchies,
Men who take care of themselves are free. When they let others take care of them and make their laws, they're slaves.
Why not save that for your pulpit, my dear man?
Because I've got more than a pulpit conscience.
My dear man, I suggest a change of atmosphere for you. The climate of Bohemia may become rather, shall we say, suffocating?
If Your Excellency has no objection, my family and I will emigrate to America.
Do that, my dear Rabbi. Do it quickly. Yes, in your case, the quicker, the better.
The timeless pattern, pilgrimage to freedom, the ocean luminous with the wet footprints of exiles who had gone before. Winds steering westward to the American earth, where no man gnaws the dead bones of past centuries. A place for new beginnings, where men can write their names upon the stars and not upon tombstones. A place to learn new words and a new language, and to stand in a free pulpit and open an American Constitution and see in every line the law of Moses, the code of Israel. So many years ago, my first American pulpit, the call to the Albany congregation.
You don't know anything about
it. Rabbi Wise, before we decide to engage you, we'd like you to make something clear.
I want you to make a lot of things clear.
I'll come to it, Schmidt.
If you don't, I will.
Don't you trust me, Schmidt?
Go ahead. Don't talk so much.
Now, as I was saying, Rabbi Wise, we want you to clear up something.
What is it?
Well, we hear that you believe in some kind of reform.
That's what we heard.
I do.
Is that so? What kind of reform, Rabbi?
I'll try to state it simply. Only that portion of Judaism which will and must become the common good of all men is religion to me.
Is that so? Go on, we're listening.
Do you want a speech?
Oh, no. Just tell us what you believe.
All right, Mr. Schmidt. I believe that Judaism does not insist on dogmas.
Yes. Well, what makes a religious Jew?
His deeds, not his creed.
Yeah. Schmidt, what do you think?
I'm still listening.
That's not only my doctrine, Mr. Schmidt. You'll find it in the Talmud.
I am still listening.
There's a section in the Talmud where God is imagined to exclaim, I would rather they had forgotten me and had observed my law.
Schmidt, what can we lose? He quotes Talmud.
That's right. Well, Rabbi Wise, you've got a congregation.
Rabbi Wise, this is too much.
Schmidt, take it easy.
I won't take it easy.
Schmidt, calm down. Let me do the talking.
Won't you? Now, what's the trouble? But sit down first.
Rabbi Wise, I want to know if this is true.
So do I.
Is what true?
My wife tells me that you are preparing my daughter, a girl, for confirmation.
Yes, I am, Mr. Schmidt. She's a bright girl, and she's going to be confirmed on Pentecost.
In our synagogue?
Yes. Do you see anything wrong?
Anything wrong? Why, it's not done. It's never been done. Bar mitzvahs are for boys, not for girls.
It's absolutely unheard of.
Is it?
Absolutely. Rabbi Wise, you're not going to disgrace this synagogue with these crazy innovations.
Tell me, when Moses brought the women of Israel to Mount Sinai, were you disgraced?
You can't justify this thing.
I think America justifies it. Women are not second-class citizens. Go back and read your Bible. Uchmas, Noshim, Bunsor, Baso. It is the wisdom of the woman that builds the home.
Schmidt, what do you say?
Well, I don't know.
I believe in a living Judaism. Legalism isn't religion. Mysticism isn't religion.
No?
No. Religion, Judaism, for me, it's the fear of the Lord and the love of man. I've tried to introduce reform in other places. I've been mocked and scorned and reviled. But I have faith in America. Someday the mockers and the scorners and revilers will admit they're wrong. They will accept the confirmation of girls. It's a small thing, perhaps, but they'll come to it.
Well, all right. It can't hurt.
Good. Let us enter the palace of the Lord and not waste our time scratching our names on the bricks outside, eh?
Schmidt, what do you think?
I don't know. Life used to be peaceful before he came. Rabbi Wise, you ought to go out and found a college of rabbis.
Would it surprise you, Mr. Schmidt, if I say that I've been thinking of nothing else?
Rabbi Wise, nothing you say surprises me.
Perhaps the desire to reform the world is a sickness. It's hard to say. Some men do no more than they must. They smoke their cigars leisurely, read their books, enjoy excellent digestions, quarrel with no one, sleep well. They are the pets of fortune. Yet every century must settle old accounts. It is wrong to be benumbed by history. Traditions can be accepted, but they must also be made. It was a hard lesson to learn, a harder lesson to teach. Then the time came to teach it elsewhere. A call from congregation Nei Yeshurin in Cincinnati. A call from the American West, the place of new beginnings.
Rabbi Wise, that's a fine little magazine you publish.
Thank you, Blackman.
You can do a powerful lot of good with it. Don't spoil it.
Mr. Blackman, if you want to tell me something, why not tell me?
All right. This editorial, did you write it?
You know I did.
This country has disavowed every connection with any church. Nothing is more disgusting than the combination of religion and politics.
Come to the point, Mr. Blackman. I wrote that. What's objectionable about it?
Why did you write it?
You know why. It's an attack against the Know-Nothing Party.
That's what I thought. Rabbi, take some advice. Leave the Know-Nothing Party strictly alone.
I can't, Blackman.
Why can't you?
Because they're attacking Catholics and Negroes.
Why, you're a Jew. It's no skin off your back.
Mr. Blackman, I'm an American.
Rabbi, you're being mighty tactless.
I've got a good theological word for tact.
You're making a mistake, Rabbi. Keep out of this. It won't do your people any good.
Mr. Blackman, for 18 centuries, Israel was at fault for too great love of God. And perhaps the enemies of Israel were at fault for too little love of their neighbor. But this is America. The foundations are different here, and they must be defended.
It's not your job to defend them.
What kind of an American do you think I am? Do you see a Chinese wall around the Constitution? When the Constitution is attacked, I'm going to retaliate.
Huh? What are you going to do?
I'm calling a special meeting of the congregation. I'm asking every Christian and Jew in Cincinnati to come. You might also, Mr. Blackman. Might do you some good.
The old sickness, bigotry and sectarianism. And in America, it hurts so much in other places. In America, so much more. For this is the beacon light of nations. And yet every generation must fight its own evil and build against it. And every man must build in his own way.
Oh, Rabbi, can I drive you somewhere? Oh.
Why, thank you, Father Riley. I'm going to the station.
Well, get in. It's only a bit out of my way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Come on, Kip. That was a good talk the other day, Rabbi Wise.
Thank you, Father Riley.
Let's make a deal.
What kind of a deal?
You convert Jews to Judaism. I'll see if I can convert Christians to Christianity.
I'm going to keep my part of the bargain. That's why I'm driving to the station. Father Riley, maybe I'm crazy, but there's room for a Hebrew college in this city. You can't build synagogues without rabbis. I think it's time to start training rabbis.
Well, good luck to you. You can tell them Father Riley's on your side.
If you gentlemen have no objection, I'll turn the meeting over to Rabbi Wise. Floor is yours, Rabbi.
You gentlemen look rather pained.
Well, we're wondering how much you expect from us.
Do you think I like doing this?
From what we've heard, you do it mighty well, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. I hate it. I live on a railroad. I go from city to city. I beg. I come here. Why? Do I want anything of you? Nothing. Why must I be your servant, your slave, your beggar, your scapegoat? That's all I am. I'm a beast of burden to myself. I'm switched by the storms on the mountain. I'm getting old and weary and almost tired of life. Yet I must come here and speak. A man can't rebel against his conscience any more than he can rebel against God. You and I cannot separate ourselves from our people.
We cannot be faithless to our religion. I'm here to plead for a holy cause. I think a portion of the history of America depends on your answer.
It isn't much, Rabbi Wise, but it's all we can afford.
Thank you, Jonas. That's enough for 6 classrooms.
Will you accept this, Rabbi Wise?
With all my heart. You've just given us half a library.
I'd like to enroll as a rabbinical student.
Glad to have you.
I'm glad to come.
Nervous, Rabbi?
What for? The first commencement of the Hebrew Union College? I've never been happier in my life. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Let no good man despair of human nature and human destiny. For the Lord is at your right hand, and you cannot fail. His promises are your banner of light. The time is coming when all the fortresses and the castles and the bastions will lie in ruins. And a newer generation will say, our forefathers needed those damnable structures, but we do not. The time is fast approaching when man will recognize in man his fellow creature, the image of his God, the object of his love, the brother of his heart. The knowledge of God will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. And God will be one, and his name will be one among the nations and all the tongues. God bless this country. Let it be a beacon light of nations. Let all free men raise their temples to the Most High and praise his glorious name forever and ever.
Rabbi. Rabbi, you can rest now.
What's that?
I said you can rest. Remember me? I'm the sculptor.
Huh?
Have you been thinking?
Yes. Yes, remembering.
Why don't you come in now, Rabbi Wise? Come in and lie down. Hmm?
No, you go in, young man. I'll sit here. When a man's 80, sitting is good enough. Time enough to sleep.
Well, don't stay too long.
As long as I'm allowed, young man.
I'll bring you a blanket.
No, young man, don't bother. I'm warm enough. It's spring. There's a good smell from the ground. The birds are back. And someone's singing. I'm warm enough.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained free of cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Dr. David Phillipson, Dean of the Reform Rabbinate, who speaks to you from Cincinnati.
Isaac M. Wise was born in the village of Steingrub, Bohemia, on March 29, 1819. He emigrated from Bohemia to the United States in 1845 because the tyrannical conditions of his native land greatly irked him. I had the American fever, he wrote later, in his famous autobiography entitled Reminiscences, which I translated from the German. Shortly after arriving in this country, he began what was to be the most significant career for union among Jews. In 1848, he published in the Occident of Philadelphia a call to Israelites of America to appoint delegates in their various communities to meet in conference for the consideration of problems affecting Jews in the United States. This call was not heeded until 1855, when a convention of rabbis and laymen was held in Cleveland, Ohio. This convention called forth bitter opposition from some noted Reform rabbis and congregations, notably Congregation Emanuel of New York and Har Sinai of Baltimore. But Wise was not discouraged. He had moved from Albany, New York, his first charge, to Cincinnati in 1854. Here he founded his journal, The Israelite, later The American Israelite, in whose pages, week in and week out, he kept on advocating his plea for union among the Jews in the country. Persistence won the day, and in 1873, his dream for union was realized when the Union of American Hebrew Congregations was organized in Cincinnati. 2 years later, in October 1875, the Hebrew Union College for the Training of Rabbis was founded. He was the president of this institution until the time of his death, 25 years later. He had founded the Congregational Union and the Rabbinical Training School, but he did not rest content with this double achievement for union. He longed for a union of rabbis, and this longing was realized when in July 1889, the Central Conference of American Rabbis was founded, today the largest rabbinical organization in the world. When he closed his eyes in the last earthly sleep in March 1900, he was generally recognized as the greatest organizing genius among the Jews of the country. Next Saturday at the Hebrew Union College, Founders Day will be observed, an annual function honoring the memory of America's leading rabbinical leader of the 19th century. Isaac M. Wise was a great builder of national American Jewish institutions, the Congregational Union, the Rabbinical Training School, and the Conference of Rabbis, a triple cord which in all likelihood will not soon be broken.
Thank you, Dr. Phillipson. Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. The music is composed by Henry Brandt and conducted by Milton Katims. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist. Harold Huber was heard as Isaac M. Wise. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This program is a public service presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For free copies of the script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program came to you from New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company. Mm-hmm.